Welcome back, Poggers, to another episode of The Pog State. I'm your host, Atlas. I'm joined by Valdez, Chronicler, and Wolf over there for what is going to be a post-week 8 episode. Amazing that we have come all this way in what feels like such a short time, but it is actually just the same amount of time minus, like, what, 1 week due to the Asia Games qualification that is going to be happening. There are no more elephants to address. There is, in fact, an 18-0 to have a look at, and this episode is going to be all about the playoffs. You guys have witnessed the entirety of Week 8. We are yet to see the final day of matches. Should be the 2-0 for T1 up against Fredrick Breon with unfortunate COVID-related circumstances, and therefore should not stand too much of a chance against the team that is currently ridiculously undefeated here in the LCK. And then we have one more match as well. So, gentlemen, the playoffs.
What's up?
This is sort of like, it's feeling a little bit like T1 and the other teams moving into the playoffs here. Of course, just to confirm, guys, T1 has not confirmed first place. If they lose, well, actually, they probably have. But as of right now, they haven't. If they get 0-2'd by Fredrick Breon, there is still a universe.
So, you know how I'm always really optimistic about Challengers roster's chances? Uh-huh. It's not one of those days. This team is... like, and when I don't have any hope, it's a newly formed team. It's a lot of inexperienced players. And even in Challengers, they haven't looked great. They have the best names out of, I'd say, like, Korea.
Yeah, when we're digging into the names
that's
of the
you,
players,
that's you know, that's yeah. That's what you know.
But moving into what we expect for the playoffs, I think that most of us think that Quantum Freaks are going to make it there. I think it's that last spot that's really going to be up for grabs.
I don't see Fredrick Breon making it.
I don't
unfortunately.
Know. I'm not sure I agree because while getting COVID is really unfortunate and we don't wish it on any of the players, the timing is actually really good because Fredrick Breon beating T1, like, there are the memes. They've done it before, right? Like, it could happen. Maybe Umpty just somehow gets it done. But I don't think realistically, especially with this T1, we could have expected Fredrick Breon to take that matchup anyway. So it's like, if you're going to get COVID, get it now. Get it out of the way. You were going to lose to T1 anyway. You have some rest days, and then maybe you come back strong for playoffs. But I wonder if they'll be there on time for the beginning of next week,
that's
which
the question.
Is the real question.
But also their match, like their last three matches, by the way.
Yeah, that's what I was going to get
T1,
into.
T1, Damwon, Kia, and Gen.G. So, like,
they could beat Damwon.
All three of these, I think they could, but like their playoff percentage is actually not based on any of their three remaining matches, but it's actually based on how well KT does. The expectation with this 83% is still that Fredrick Breon will lose all of those games, but KT will also lose their matches. So if KT upsets, like, that's how Fredrick Breon doesn't make playoffs, actually.
Yeah, and KT's matchups, okay, against Gen.G, sure, that might not be doable, but against Nongshim in their current form.
Yeah. That one...
I'd be feeling pretty good about that one.
Yeah.
And that's for me the core thing, is that I think Fredrick Breon's remaining schedule, even if they do have the full roster, I think they can win against Damwon Kia. I think it would be incredible. This roster has had their fair share of ups and downs, but they're really easy to root for. They're very easy to love. But I do also feel like current form Damwon Kia, I don't see losing anymore. Was this 3-4 weeks ago? I think it would have been pretty likely. But with their topside weaknesses being shored up, and the fact that even though the team sometimes looks a little bit janky, a little bit slow, they are still really hard to beat. And that's really a key difference as well. If you look, like, DRX is currently third, but Damwon Kia doesn't get 2-0'd ever, right? Whereas DRX has days where they just don't show up at all. And for Fredrick Breon, I think that match against, if that was DRX instead of Damwon, I think you'd feel a lot better because DRX at some days is just like, oh, we didn't get Hecarim on Pioshix, and Barrow isn't feeling himself today. He can't play the RTS where he just micromanages everyone. Shucks. So then we get 2-0'd by Humble Life,
I mean,
I guess.
Think about it this way. Like, KT right now, so I'm looking at the standings right now. Fredrick Breon, -1 game score. KT, -5 game score. We're living in a world where very likely KT will win their match against Nongshim. I think they're probably 2-0 that one. And then they'll lose their match against Gen.G, so -2. So they'll probably end up being at -5, like, at the end.
It's going to be up to who loses less.
Exactly. Yeah. So this is what I'm saying. So Fredrick Breon, they need to win some games here. Because if they end up losing all three of their remaining matches, and go 7-11 to tie with KT at 7-11, because I think we are going to have a 7-11 split between these two. If they lose all three, please, they'll be negative
sponsorship.
Seven.
Sponsorship.
So if they end up being negative seven and KT are negative five, then KT actually just win by game score, and they will actually get that playoff spot. So Frederick Brion actually need to take some games here. They, and regardless of their roster, you know, like some of these games need to go their way. Because, I think KT 2-0 is Nongshim, gets 0-2'd by Genji. I think that's like pretty easy expectation. The expectation for Frederick Brion is they get 2-0, 2-0, 2-0'd. They need to make sure that doesn't happen, or like it's like set in stone. Like KT are going to get through, I think.
Unless Kwangdong also messes up and loses against Hanwha Life and Sandbox, which I don't think should
yeah,
happen.
Yeah, I don't think so.
However, well, yeah. you say that I don't think. I just want to reiterate. I don't think it should happen. I think this Kwangdong, as they have shown their form over the last few weeks, is a playoffs team. But I just want to like that. That's the. I think the cool thing about playoffs is that. Between Frederick Brion, Kwangdong, and KT, there's going to be a bunch of scenarios that all are equally likely at this point. I think the most likely is Kwangdong KT. I think this, the form of the teams and the remaining strength of schedule kind of backs that up. But imagine if it's just KT and Frederick Brion, or Kwangdong and KT. Like I don't know.
I don't think it's KT. Looking at this, I just don't think it's KT.
You don't have faith.
No. Why not? Do you think Frederick Brion is going to take games off of Damwon, Kia, Genji, and...
Well, I think that if anyone's T1? Going to win some random games, it's going to be Frederick Brion.
But it's not Umpty. It's not that roster, you know?
They're not going to win against T1, but they can win. They can take random games.
But will they take the random... Like, the random game I think the most likely to take is a Damwon, Kia 1, because it's the easiest of the three opponents, and it's the last
one,
so they might
Genji
have...
game, because Genji dropped games. And Frederick Brion win games.
But also, Frederick Brion have a history of beating Damwon Kia. They also have that match against Damwon Kia when they will, in theory, have their roster back on the 19th. So, like, that one is winnable. But I think you've got to drop. Like, Genji has to drop a game, like you're saying, against them next week or, like, on Wednesday.
I'm just thinking, like, what's the team most likely to disappoint you
hey.
Out of Frederick Brion and KT?
Well,
and as a KT fan for many years, I know exactly what the correct answer to that question is.
At the same time, we have the opportunity to make history because KT and Frederick Brion are the only teams since the LCK went to franchising to never make
playoffs.
And
one of the two of them will get in.
Well, but like we might also get both if Kwangdong somehow botch it, which again I hope doesn't happen, and it definitely shouldn't.
It definitely won't happen.
It's Hanwha, and
is there any world at all where neither of them get in? Yeah, I guess that's what? Whenever like
well
if
one of them
Liv
has
Sandbox
to.
Or Nongshim.
No. Those,
if
those...
Liv Sandbox or Nongshim can possibly
no,
do
they can't.
They
anymore.
Can't. Nongshim's out. Nongshim's eliminated.
They're yeah. out.
They're all
oh,
out.
Is it actually all just deadsies?
Yeah, it's all just it's yeah. like one of
two thirds of the remaining
team
teams will get
in.
Right.
In playoffs. I'd say Kwangdong KT, but
oh, right, yeah.
Frederick
no,
Brion should have the
I like
armor,
misinterpreted
right?
everything, and I'm like, it's 12, but there's like, I don't know. I had a little bit of a brain mistake. So, yeah, there is a guarantee that we do have one of those two, but I think it's going to be Frederick Brion.
I don't think so. I think that the stats didn't trust KT's recent form,
and
also
that's
Nongshim
why it's going to happen because this man sounds a bit excited.
I'm
KT's
not excited. I'm just looking at the numbers. KT's recent form, like.
They dragged themselves across the line against Liv Sandbox. I guess that.
But
I mean,
look. There's two teams left. Like,
and
okay,
that's
do you,
Liv
Sandbox. Are we gonna make a bet right now, Valz? You think Nongshim is gonna be?
Good.
You think Nongshim is gonna be?
Class good.
Do you think Nongshim is gonna take a game off KT Roster? Yes or no, Valdez? Like, what? Yes or no question. Do you think they will take
could.
A game?
They could.
Because they need to, or Brion is not getting in.
Okay, let's break down.
Dry.
Let's break down that matchup just real quick, because that actually makes me really happy to talk about this, right? Mm-hmm. Because there is no world where Nongshim should be in this position anyway. So if you go down the line, right, you've got Kanna there towards the top side of the map. He's been dealing with Rascal throughout most of his career. In fact, got famous by being better than Rascal in a lot of matchups when
okay.
he was on Gen G, right? Dredd has been very, very good in the past.
When again?
Yeah. Vikla is
this
a challenger player.
He was leading Pog points by 500 at the beginning of the season. Like, we don't have short memories here. We like to keep things in perspective. BDD versus Vickler should never be close, because Vickler's fresh from Challenger, and BDD was like one of our like LCK representative MVPs at Worlds, right?
Vickler also looking really inconsistent with playing really well and then also playing really poorly against Liv Sandbox.
And so BDD designed that playstyle, right?
Man, you know? have you considered a career as a politician, Max? Because this is some great spinning that you do. Continue.
this is the world that we're in, where them losing 0-2 is the absolutely expected outcome. And I just want to illustrate just how ridiculous that is with the power of this team. Like, Nongshim should be good, but they are not. Now, they're 100% eliminated. There is no more expectation on them. And if there's ever a team to play spoiler, it's a team that has now had everything released from them. Like, they're going to do it.
Because that's the ultimate disappointment.
You cannot be more disappointing than being eliminated
this is a man that's been hurt by KT too many times.
Let's talk about Nongshim's playstyle, though, right? Right now, I'd say BDD. I'll be the first to say this actually on a recorded or official media, because I think we're all feeling it. I think BDD is the worst mid laner in the LCK at this moment in time. Besides, you know, substitutes, Aria, etc. And he's a momentum-based player, right? He's a player who, when his team is doing well and when he's feeling himself, he does extremely well, right? The peak of BDD is not something we've seen since the beginning of the season. Then you've got Dredd, who's also a very emotional player, who has been very tilted throughout this season. And you've got Kana, who's also the same type of emotional player on the top side of the map. Ghost, you know, he's just along for the ride. Like, he's like, oh, man, I'm just trying my best to win these games.
He's had some really good games.
He's along for the ride. Like, he's actually doing his best, okay? But when you have nothing to play for, when you have nothing to win for, you have no playoffs on the line, and everybody's tilted, and KT have everything to play for, it's extremely important for them to 2-0 that, like, I just don't see it happening.
They're Nongshim 2-0 100%.
I don't see
it
happening.
There's absolutely no way they win that.
You forgot to mention Peter, by the way.
Yeah.
Well, I don't think he's going to be playing. So Peter and Effort also really both not having a good time over the last few weeks.
Yeah. I honest to God have no idea. There's too many converging timelines happening, because what is more likely is Nongshim continuing their form, which I think should be expected, a KT that just randomly disappoints their friends. And not only that, but we haven't even talked about the Fretted Brion plot armor. And we're thinking maybe it gets Fretted Brion a win, but what if instead it's the plot armor making sure that KT loses 2-0 against Nongshim? It's a possibility as well. I just want to put it out there, because with how everything has been going thus far, I still firmly believe that KT should win that matchup rather comfortably. I think that looking at their recent form, even with some of the laning inconsistencies that I think they do add, as you pointed out, Valdez against Sandbox, the overall direction of the team has been infinitely better. I think Cuz has really benefited from Vikla, although Vikla has been inconsistent in terms of laning phase. I think that the relative improvement of mid lane being a bit more stable still has really helped Cuz out. He looks a lot more confident, which again, I guess, is also a perfect opportunity to just not do that randomly for a series. It's so hard. I don't know what this game. And there's just everything you say is like, yeah, that makes sense. There, that one can't be done. It's like Schrodinger's LCK playoffs game, playoffs.
That's the best thing. The best thing is that if you guys are watching this episode as it's coming out, that game will be happening right now. Basically, I think that this should be coming out just before, and that is, of course, the first game on Wednesday is Nongshim versus KT.
This is breaking my brain.
I know, it's so good, right? And I was obviously being a little bit facetious. I think that especially with how Vikla has debuted into the LCK, it's been far beyond what my expectations were for the player. And I even sometimes watch Chronicler's stream and observe some of the Challenger players. And Vickler actually, he didn't turn my head that much.
No, it was okay. KT was an all-around good team, but they also have Noah and Rebel, which are pretty great players.
Yep.
We've seen them both in the LCK.
Yep.
Rebel and Kesper.
Yeah, exactly. So they're good. They're an upper echelon team, but it wasn't really until we actually saw him debut that it was...
Yeah, and he looked good in losing games as well, which is...
I got Faker's praise. That's...
Yeah.
On a debut, that's pretty good.
Yeah, it's pretty ridiculous. And I actually, I kind of value a player that can still look good when his team's not in a good spot, right? Because it's much easier to look good when you're winning, and much more difficult to like try and find openings and still look good when everything is falling apart. If that happens too much, then it becomes a problem, right? It's like, oh, well, like obviously they're not playing for their team enough or blah, blah, blah. There can be those sorts of things. But from what we've seen from Vickler, it hasn't really been that.
Vickler has been a very proactive player in lane, sometimes to his detriment. And I think that he looks somewhat inconsistent because of it. Like sometimes he'll try to make a big play and it backfires and he'll end up losing a wave. He usually doesn't die and get solo kill lane, although it has happened. I think against BDD, like I could see a world where he actually solo kills BDD. BDD gets like frustrated. He's like solo kills BDD again. And then it's like, okay, the game is decided. Like that's how poorly I think the mid matchup goes for Nongshim right now. And BDD is just like out of his element. He's mentioned several times in interviews since he recovered from COVID, he hasn't felt like he's really gotten his headspace back. Like he's not actually in the right mentality right now. He's still kind of, I don't want to say he's got like long COVID, but he's still recovering. Like he's not 100% fit yet. And I really think that's like the biggest hole for BDD for Nongshim is BDD in this matchup. Like I just want to reiterate, I know we're talking about like some like theoreticals and like excited for KT and curses and stuff, but like I think on paper like this should be a 2-0. Like I have no doubt. I think Freddit Breon somehow need to steal some wins away like from these top three teams. Like that's my angle for Freddit. Like steal some wins away. Steal a win against T1 tonight if they draft weird. Prove that the Challenger's roster is awesome. You know, try it, please.
Yeah. Freddit Breon only need to win 2 games. I know it's difficult with their schedule. But just one game here, one game there, and they can tie a KT that takes a 2-0, which is assuming that they take a 2-0. I kind of agree, but at the same time, Vikla did look really just out of it and like free food in the mid lane against Liv Sandbox. Like that was a Liv Sandbox Challengers team, basically, who were coming in and they 0-2'd him really early because he was pushing really hard, not aware of the current lane state, and what? He got ganked multiple times. And the one issue I see is that Dread and BDD aren't really working well together. So I don't know if they can pull off the same thing as even the Liv Sandbox Challengers team, but if they can do it a couple times in pressure, I don't think it's going to be as one-sided as you think.
To be fair, one of those deaths was he was under his turret and then he was flashed on. There was Leona roaming up and there was...
He got
free.
That was the second game.
Yeah, I know.
The first game where he got 0-2'd, he was standing super far in the lane.
I know. And I don't disagree with you overall. To me, the interesting angle when it comes to Nongshim versus KT is that I think that Ghost has actually been the best part of Nongshim, which is weird because he's also been the worst part of Nongshim.
But right now he is. I agree with you. Yeah.
I mean, like, as the rest of his team has kind of taken a downturn, he's been looking better and better.
The problem is he's also kind of looking like the best support option as well right now.
I guess. If Ghost
could just solo the bottom lane with a duplicate of himself.
No. What if they bring Vital up and Ghost plays support? Then do we see the Nongshim angle?
That doesn't even look that good.
Because my actual point is that I think life and aiming have been way better and people have been banning for 3, 4, 5 AD carries against aiming, and then he just picks another one and still kind of dunks on people.
Well, he also picked super OP Kai'Sa twice.
Well, I agree that obviously they really highly prioritize Kai'Sa. I think the pick is really stupid, and I hope the AP build gets nerfed. Hybrid build is a little bit different. But do you think that if aiming would have gotten in those matchups, like if he'd gotten Kalista instead, or if he'd gotten Caitlyn instead, he would not have done the same thing?
I think it would have done it even harder, probably.
Yeah, so that's kind of my issue. I don't really feel like Nongshim is going to be able to stand up in terms of bot lane because they just look... That's their one angle, and I think the angle looks bad.
And actually, but I actually think that is what plays exactly into their hands. Because what is Ghost's true skill? Ghost has one thing that he's absolutely phenomenal at. No, he's really, really good at beating teams bottom that have very good bottom lanes. If a team plays through their bottom lane, Ghost absorbs that pressure. That is what he got famous for. That's why they won Worlds, right? Like, that is why Ghost was on that team and what his job was on that team. That is why Nongshim on paper look like a team that should be good, because they can play through Kanna, who needs to be played through, and they put Ghost in weak side. So I actually think that what you're talking about with aiming being good should be something that Nongshim can actually capitalize on. The problem is, none of the actual assessment of what these teams are good at matters at all, because Nongshim just look way worse than they should. They're like, nothing makes sense. They're all just perma-tilted, and it sucks, because this team has so much potential. I'm really glad that this is spring, because...
Agreed.
Like, if this is summer, I'd be so depressed, because afterwards the whole team will go boom, and we won't get to see what the potential is.
This kind of
what
does
seems
happen in
like
spring.
On paper, it's like a good thing.
If they swap out, if they can find a support pick that works for them, I would be shocked not to see this team end up in like a very decent playoff standing in summer.
No, absolutely. Like, I think that there'll be like a race for playoffs, and the fact that they have no championship points from spring is going to really hurt them. I think that that's what's going to happen. We're going to be like, oh, damn, why did they suck? They shouldn't have sucked.
Yeah, I actually think that is exactly what will happen. They'll be like, oh, top four in summer, and we'll be like, oh, well, you know, we don't have the gauntlet anymore. Is this team going to make it to Worlds? I don't know. I think that's actually not a bold prediction. I think it's extremely likely that that exact scenario will happen.
Oh, actually, okay, so now, this is a beautiful segue, Wolf. I think because we've done it to death, the, like, KT versus Nongshim. I think we can all say that it's probably going to be Quantum Freaks KT making
Nongshim.
It up there, but, like...
But we don't know, because it's KT.
I mean, to be perfectly honest, I still think that's going to happen. But never mind, it's neither here nor there. It's one of those three, right? Quantum Freaks could also get up there as well. Fredabrion could also... get up there as well. We don't necessarily know. We'll see how thick that plot armor is. But how strong is our top four right now? Because I think we have to, you have to always talk about each season as what is the top four looking like. They're here in the LCK, the teams that we're going to be sending to Worlds. And what Wolf just said about, is Nongshim going to be in the conversation for top four moving into summer, right? Like, is that ridiculous? Because, you know, right now they're eighth, right? So it should theoretically be ridiculous. But how strong is our top four that we have here at the moment? And I think, like, that's a really cool discussion to have. So let's have it.
So do you wanna compare it to something specifically, like last year's spring? Or because I think there's some interesting parallels to be drawn, where you have one team that's very clearly ahead of everyone else. Last year it was Dumb One. Right now it's obviously T1. And then you have two teams that you feel like should be pretty close, which I guess would be Gen G and Dumb One. I feel like Dumb One in a playoff setting, is, even though DRX is currently ranked above them, would be in its current form a team that I'd be more afraid of. But I don't know how you guys feel about
Gen
that.
I think Gen G is a good step still, ahead of Dom 1.
Still, yeah, still ahead. Yeah, yeah. I
think
I
it's like
agree,
T1
actually.
Is way up there, and then we have Gen G here, and then Gen like G, DRX Gap. And Dom 1 down here.
For me, yeah. I think we have T1 is S, Gen G is A, and then DRX, Dom 1, Kia are B, and then the rest of our teams are like unranked. Like, they don't even get to be a part of this conversation, but...
Yeah.
I think there's a huge gap between T1 and Gen G, but then I think there's a huge gap between Gen G and DRX and Dom 1 Kia at Gen G's peak, right, with their full roster, et cetera, because there have been some hiccups along the way. And the question about how strong our top four is overall, like, I think we have a very clear top two. The question is, how strong are DRX and Dom 1 Kia? And we haven't seen, like, their final form just yet, I think. Both of these teams were, like, ramping up really hard. And I could see a world in where DRX actually end up being the stronger team than Dom 1 Kia in the end. And, you know, we might not necessarily actually see that matchup in playoffs, which is really sad. But I think that they're a huge cut above whoever is going to get those last two playoff spots that we have been talking about. Like,
which,
there's, like, such a huge gap.
Which, ladies and gentlemen, is a good reason to watch on Thursday. Because Thursday's game is going to be Dom 1 Kia versus DRX. Definitely a hype one. We'll see you there. No, I 100% agree. There is a slight difference. There's a slight difference. Because for me, like, if I was to go into the tier list creator, it'd be really easy. It's T1, Gen G, Dom 1, DRX.
Yeah.
I think that there is almost, T1's, like, up here in, like, Ludacrisville. But then it's, like, Gen G, equal gap, Dom 1, equal gap, DRX. Because DRX don't have the consistency yet.
No,
I think that they have the potential to be a really good team. And I'm obviously like ridiculously biased towards Deft and always have been my entire career. I don't know why I haven't been like
the only
way
real
more
bias
called
here
out
at the LCK.
Yeah, like yeah. I actually like I never get called out for that. I always get called out for other shit. And I'm like, guys, I'm like, this is where I'm like actually biased. Like,
I've been saying this on stream so many times as well. Like, we always get called out for biases that don't exist when there's super up. Like,
yeah,
have you
it's
ever
like, guys.
Heard, have you ever heard Valdis talk about Carry Our Peter? Right? Have you heard Max talk or Atlas talk about obviously Deft? Me with any challenger players? Like, no, they'll be good any
you,
day now,
you
guys.
You were an example of that literally just before when you were talking about Vikla being good against Peter. Oh my god!
I
and
know, like, and
if you want to actually damage us and our feelings, please actually go for the stuff that's true.
it's really interesting. I personally feel like the Damwon Kia peak is still higher. And I think if you look at the way that Damwon Kia lost a lot of series, and you see this reflected in map score as well, I do think that ever since they settled on this roster, they've gone, 2-1 against all the teams that they lost against, right? Like T1, actually they 2-1. Gen G, or they got 2-1. Gen G, they got 2-1 twice. And I do think that in a going into playoffs, I'd feel a little bit more confident about that, because as good as Deft and Barrel has been, I think Zaka has been slowly ramping up. But King and MPOshik to me still remain something that I'd be a little scared about, because especially with the over-reliance on Hecarim, Kingan's form being a little up and down.
I actually think we might be sleeping a little bit on Kingan, because I think Kingan had a really like terrible start to the season, but has been like, and I knew that Wolf was about to talk about this, so maybe I'll let you take the floor on it, but like I think Kingan has been actually very consistent in comparison to like actual just Pjosic might not exist on a daily basis.
Yeah, I think Pjosic is the least consistent part of the roster now. I think Kingan is pretty good. Like, he's not at like Kingan versus Bertol is a really interesting conversation to have, because Kingan's like the veteran and he should be better on paper. He's playing more like a rookie this year. Whereas Bertol is like ramping up, so like that matchup is really exciting. Yeah. And when we talk about the problem with these solo laners is it's Kingan and Zeka, right, versus Showmaker, and Bertol is one of the most hyped top laners to come into the LCK. So I think people aren't giving Zeka proper credit. Like you were saying, like because the start wasn't great for Kingan, the start wasn't great for Zeka. Where in reality, I think Showmaker and Zeka are a lot closer than like those two names feel like. If you like put those two names on paper, it's everyone's like, who's Zeka? Like Showmaker versus Zeka. But it's actually like a lot closer.
Yeah.
And then I think, personally, I was the most exciting part of Damwon's roster for me this season was going to be the bottom duo, right? Okay, Duck, Dom, and Kellen on a really good team. Like, how's this going to work out? Right now, I think Deft, Barrel is a stronger bot duo. Like, I think Duck, Dom, and Kellen have had their moments. Like, but Duck, Dom, and Kellen have also, like, I think in their best games have been given Pryo and just killed plates. And then Duck, Dom's like, well, you guys gave me Caitlyn into this. I win the game. I kill a lot of turrets. I think that Deft has been a better playmaker. I think he's been more consistent. I think his team fighting has been better overall. And I think it's a lot closer than we make it seem to be, just because those soul lanes do kind of stick out as like, well, Bertol versus King, and there's no way. And then you look at the mid lane, you're like, well, Showmaker versus Echo, like I don't even want to have this conversation. But it's a lot closer than it looks. Now, Kanan versus Pjosic, like, that's where the real gap is.
Yeah,
like, that's the real gap. Like, I think every other aspect like is closer than the names show, but the Pjosic versus Kanan is like, that's
the
problem. The
way that sentence is supposed to go is like, everything is closer than it's supposed to go, but none of it matters because Kanan exists.
Yeah.
Is basically what
honestly, as long as you don't give Pjosic Hecarim, Kanan's going to monster gap him, I think.
Which kind of means that if Damwon are on blue side, then Derek's losing.
Because I think the only player that we've seen, I think Owner, again, has been extremely consistent, but Owner is really interesting in a T1 team that, like, the players, when they are highest, are insane, and when they're quote-unquote lowest, they're still really good. Owner is just, like, always an 8 out of 10. So I don't think he comes to mind as much. The only player that has truly gapped Peanut, or there we go, that has kept Kanan this split, I think, has been Peanut, who at the Jarvan game was disgusting.
Yeah.
Like, that was actually, it was insane. It was incredible to watch. And
I think Ona did do it, but
no,
like,
he does. But
it doesn't look as obvious because everything is on fire for Damwon in those games.
No, like, yeah, like the fact that Ona can get invaded level one and then still have a really impactful game.
Yeah.
Says
if
an
you
incredible
peer through
amount.
The smoke, you can see. Oh, yeah. Ona's doing really well.
Ona is literally just suffering from being on T1 in that regard, like in terms of public perception, because all his other players are way more like high profile. But
guys, can you stop winning as much? I need to look good too.
Remember, like T1 was saying as well, right? I don't remember which game was like, yeah, we tried to get everyone POG points. And like, Ona, yeah, I went for a really nice kick and I still got no points. It sucks because he's been so good. But basically, outside of Peanut and Ona, I think no one is going to get Canyon still in the LCK. And I don't, I agree with Wolf. The gap is too big. I really liked your Zekka Showmaker call out, because Showmaker is still, unless he's on TF, like kind of, what's going on, Showmaker?
Like, he doesn't feel like he's at his peak form at the moment.
No, not at all. Not even close. I'd say he's still top half, but even that, you might pick Lava over him. I think that's a take you can take.
He's the king.
I would.
If you're feeling flippy, you can take Karvis over him in some situations.
And you'd always take Vikla over him, right?
No, I'm not even me is that insane, Max. Come on. There's limits. Zekka, again, I think has been really good. So that matchup is actually really cool. It just is DRX going to be able to solve the Canyon problem?
Yeah. And
I don't know if they will.
Yeah, that's the thing that's real tough. You got anything to add, Mr. Valdez?
Not really.
All right.
I think we've hit that one. Cannon's really good, and I think he should be able to single-handedly win that one for them. So, I think that Damwon, with how strong Canyon is going to be incredibly scary when it comes to best of fives. Like, and when it really comes down to it, like, even if Showmaker looks like half of his form right now, I think he'll turn it up for when it really matters. Like, the guy has experienced burnout. He hasn't been, his true self here at the spring season. But I'm sure in summer he's going to look amazing. In playoffs he's going to look amazing. And we see glimpses of it. I think he just needs to, like, the class is always there, right? The class is permanent. The form is temporary. So once we do get into the important games, I think that absolutely Damwon will be a stronger team. Because they have Canyon Showmaker. It's just that never goes away.
Yeah, you know what the one thing that I think sucks is that we're a one team region again. We only have T1.
All right, okay. Another
team suck.
Another fantastic segue given to me this time by Chronicler, where we get to talk about is T1 just really, really good, or does every other team suck and our region is getting worse?
I'll take point on this. Well, obviously, as we saw last year, where there were similar issues with Damwon kind of being ahead of the curve. I think maybe after all our teams made it to quarters and we had three teams in the semis at Worlds, not winning Worlds by one game and not winning MSI by one game shouldn't be a definitive, take. Like, oh yeah, see, the LCK sucks after all because they haven't won anything since 2020 Damwon, and that was just
the only
good.
Have you seen V5?
Well, No. The LPL is also an incredibly strong region, but my main point
they took our best top laner, Rich.
Shut up, Max.
Oh my god.
Don't talk to me
any
about
summit
Rich.
Enjoyers in the chat.
but honestly, this is a team that was one game away from making it to the finals awards, last split, right? Like, that in of itself, they just have maintained the same force and they've upgraded their top side. So, like, yes, of course the team is ludicrously good, but you can put a DRX and a Damwon Kia that sometimes look weak within the context of the LCK in any other region. I'd be feeling pretty confident, honestly. I think the LCK is still really strong. The only really big difference with summer, as will happen, I think, a lot in spring, it's just a lot more inconsistent, right? Teams are still meshing together. I think Damwon and DRX both are incredible examples of this, where it's like, how do we work together? Because these players are good, but is it going to work? Nongshim is the bad example of this, where in their case, it hasn't worked, and maybe it will in summer. And the only thing that I think is justified criticism for T1 is not their first place and how far ahead they are of everyone. It's their undefeated streak, which I according to the players, I don't think they care about as much. No. That's the only thing where I'd be like, would Gen G really not have taken one of those series? We will never know. There is no doubt in my mind that T1 is the best team in the LCK at this given point. The only thing is they might not have gone undefeated. I actually think that much would have changed. And
yeah, I don't want to add an asterisk. I think we've had conversations about the asterisk, and I just don't think that we need to. I think that T1 have performed extraordinarily well, and it was interesting. We had the chance to chat to Joe Marsh here at LoL Park and had a bit of a discussion with him about current form T1 and what he expects of the rest of the league. And we had a conversation about the strength of the LCK a little bit that we touched on. And he was just talking about the fact that, like, T1 kept their roster for a reason, right? They didn't need to build the synergy. They wanted to build up Zeus, who was already there and already starting to develop the end of last year. But what they wanted to do was really nail home a set group of players that could really begin to work together. And we've seen that already. Like, the macro play is just amazing. But another thing that he mentioned was the fact that all of these other teams were going to be coming for them eventually, right? Like, they needed to build up. They needed to get to the, like, to the point where they're getting to now. And illustrate, like, I think his example was Quandong Freaks. And that's one that I'd like to use as well. This is a team that started off looking terrible. DRX, very similar situation. But Quandong Freaks, like, observing their development over the season has been really, really fun because, like, think of it like a gold graph, right? Like, they're down 4,000 gold at the start, but it's linear. It's growing. Whereas T1, it's hard to know, like, what's the scale of this graph of, like, more winning equals this amount of winning, but winning's binary, and the amount of winning we don't really know, and it's all compared to, like, all these teams that are starting to ramp up. And so, yes, maybe it's exponential, but we don't necessarily know by how much. And are these other teams improving more? Like, it's such a cool thing to watch. But when you've got a region that's so top heavy and you see, like, how much has that team changed? What has made this team so much better this season? And the answer is more synergy, more time together, and no actual change of roster. Sorry.
No. I got excited. You were good. You had a really great point. I just wanted to kind of go off of the last thing that Mao said about, like, the LCK at Worlds. The LCK has, like, ridiculous standards. Yeah. Like, insane. And what I mean by that is that people hold the LCK to such an incredible standard that it's almost unattainable.
Oh, it is.
That if we're not winning Worlds every year, then LPL is better, right? And the LPL did win both major titles this time around in 2021. They won MSI and they won Worlds. But at Worlds, we had three teams in the semifinals, right? That counts for something. Also, Damwon only lost by one game at MSI, where, of course, as a region, it's hard to judge because there's only one team from each region, and it's the first place team. So, like, is the LPL better? Is the LCK better? I'm not sure. I just wanted to say, like, I think there's a ridiculous standard that sometimes people say, well, LCK was the best region for so long, and now they're not because they're not quite as good, not quite as dominant as they were in the past. In terms of T1 in 2015 versus T1 now in 2022, 2015 was 7 years ago. I think that back then that was the real first super, super team. Like, there were great teams back then, obviously. But the 2015 T1 was the first time people were like, this team is the best by far. And it was a much earlier time. It was when League of Legends was a much younger game. The scene was not as developed, and T1 had really struck gold with all their players, obviously.
It was just after the sister teams got crushed together as well, right?
Yep. So it's like
it's like really Samsung loses all of theirs to China, and T1 consolidates all of theirs into one god team.
It was a perfect storm at the exact right time very early on. So, like, that was then. And I think that's part of the reason why 2015 T1 dominated so hard as well, because of all of those things, especially in the LCK.
They lost MSI, though.
God. It's crazy that 2015 season, I actually looked it up earlier because I wanted to, like, look at those standings and see how it is. The standings that at this moment of that season were so similar. And we had two super teams, basically the crushed sister teams of T1 and K2 Rollster, right? Mm-hmm. Which is similar to the T1 Gen G super team situation we have here. I wanted to echo what Mao said about the fact that T1 started off ahead of everybody else in development, because I think that's the biggest point here. And, like, yes, there were the Gen G COVID situations, right, across the board, and there's a lot of jokes going around, like, wow, T1, like, would they have won because everyone else got COVID, but they didn't. But T1, I think, has had the most consistent anti-COVID protocols. They've been very outspoken about that. Like, nobody can enter the building. Everyone has to be wearing gloves. Like, that's actually just a positive on them. Like, good job, T1. You guys kept your players safe, like, extremely well. For me, like, my biggest closing thought on, like, is the LCK weak? Is that why T1 has this 18-0 possibility? I think the bottom half of the LCK is extremely weak, but it's for a good reason. And last year at the end of summer, I, like, really wanted, and I made it very clear on Pox episodes, I really wanted teams to spend money. Keep these players, build a stronger roster, keep your talent, but also, like, bring some players back from LPL. And we know that players like the Shy, Scout, were also, you know, being contacted, and they didn't end up coming back to Korea. Viper as well was considering coming back to Korea. We know this. They didn't return. But a lot of teams spent a ton of money to build up rosters. That's why we have this Nongshim roster that looks really great. KT's roster, pretty big upgrades across the board.
And that's Kwangdong one that Freaks came back, right? Like, yeah, that's aiming coming back, yeah, to, yeah, Korea.
And, yeah, and Kwangdong Freaks also built a really awesome roster. And all the teams spent money, and, like, I think a lot of teams might, at this early stage, and a lot of fans at this early stage might be disappointed, but as we've seen, as you mentioned, Kwangdong's development, DRX's development with Deft coming back in, eventually we will have an extremely competitive LCK, just like last summer. Remember last summer, we were like, anyone can make playoffs, and, like, literally at most of that season, anyone could have made playoffs. I think, like, yeah, we're so lucky in that we have an awesome top four, which is really competitive, and the playoffs are going to be great. I think we're going to get that real T1 Gen G matchup in the finals. That's my prediction. But also, like, look to the summer season, LCK fans. Yeah, like, this region is about to get hot, I think. I think it's about to start, yeah, popping. Maybe, also, maybe, you know, some win summer offense. Eh, but
yeah. That's also going to happen, so maybe we can retain best region in the world title.
Because
we got to win everything to,
yeah,
have
ever
that
since
happen.
I've joined the LCK, I've been on the receiving end of a lot of pain, and I hope that pain can soon end with an international win.
The whole reason the results have been the way that they have been is that we needed to indoctrinate Chronicle into the LCK the right way.
What do you guys think to round out that T1 topic, like 2015 versus 2022? Because what I was going to say at the end of that point was, like, I think 2022 is actually more impressive far. Like, just because of how far we've come in 7 years of League of Legends. Like, I think that having a team that's this strong... Yes, the region right now at the bottom rungs is a little bit weak, but, like, there's a lot of great competition in Gen G, Dominkia, DRX, you know. I think this might be the best team we've had in a very long time. I think, in my mind, they're better than Damwon was in 2020, but we have to see it at summer, right?
Yeah, that's my main.
I think, yeah, that's the problem.
It's
right?
Definitely 100% the best team since 2020 summer Damwon. Whether it be better or not, I think, because Damwon also then went on to just Goomba stomp Worlds. So if T1 then goes and, like, murders MSI, then I think that is pretty.
I think if T1
pretty easy right take.
Now. If T1 dominates MSI and then loses 2-3. To an LPL team in the final,
I will cry.
I will immediately then say that they're the best team in the world and they will win Worlds. Because history cannot repeat itself that accurately without that coming true, okay? Because 2015, like, that was obviously the time where that happened to 2015 SKT. And that team, as the year went on, just got even better and even better and even better. And that was absolutely terrifying. And I think that that's where... the comparison's hard, right? Because how much better can T1 get?
I don't think the ceiling is even close.
I don't think so either.
Zeus is as ludicrous as he is for a player that inexperienced, right? Is still not even close to where he's going to be.
I think Guma has room to grow as well.
Yes,
like, he's very young, and he's right now, I think, in a place where, as a player, he's kind of just limit testing at times, where he knows he's really good and he's sometimes cocky about it, and he has a good reason
sometimes.
To be. A lot of the time.
I love it.
And that's because his team and him, they just absolutely shrek everybody that they come into contact with, and he's alongside of the best support in the world in my mind, by far.
Yeah, I mean, so, Carrier doesn't have room to grow. He's already obtained perfection. Like,
Carrier, for him, it's like, can he maintain?
How long can he be perfect is the real question for Carrier.
How long can he single-handedly carry this team?
When will Paul be like, pull out that echo support, Carrier. Give us the Zach.
Yeah, give us go the get Zach. Him. There it is. And you guys may have just watched a Zach support game that happens in the Vertebraon series.
Guma has also said that like he's really frustrated with the win streak because he doesn't feel as stressed out. Like he feels like, oh, this is kind of like LCK is kind of free right now. Like we're just kind of rolling through and winning everything. And he used to like I used to show up for a match feeling like, oh my god, like I really have to kill it today, or like I have to carry, or maybe T1 won't win this really important series. But right now, like they've already guaranteed their playoff spot. They've already guaranteed round two of playoffs. They're very close to guaranteeing first place of the regular season. And as cool as it is to make history with records and stuff, he's already also now done that. Like he doesn't have to get the perfect season. He's just like, I want to feel stressed out. Like I want to feel the pressure. And I think we will see that in playoffs. And that's where T1 are really going to have to prove that like the 18-0, if they hit it, translates into an LCK final for the first time in a long time.
Yeah. Showmaker has been talking about, it's a very short point, like Showmaker talked about this as well, that it's much harder to remain on top than it is to get to the top.
Yeah.
Right. And that's literally my only fear with T1 is that they peak in spring and then they find it hard because the LCK actually doesn't give them enough and then they're not in the best shape they could be. That's the only thing that like I'd be worried about. And if that's your worries, that's a pretty luxurious position. So like, I'm not going to complain too much.
And also, another thing that I just want to do a bit of shouting out the LCK for a second, because we once again have, to bring up the format change. And we get to see two T1 matches instead of them waiting in the final and then never actually, like, getting to perform twice against two teams, right? And I think that is, like, a really, really cool thing. Like, we don't have lower bracket yet, but baby steps, we might get there, and then that might, you know, give a little bit more
excitement. I don't want lower bracket unless we take one of the playoff teams away. Just on that note, like, I don't want six teams in playoffs and then also double elimination in the LCK. Like, how many chances can we
No,
really
yeah,
get?
Yeah. That definitely wouldn't, that yeah. wouldn't be a thing. But, like, I think, like, I really, because I'm a fighting game fan, I just really like double elimination brackets because I think that it's hype. You know, it's really exciting.
Big shout.
Yeah. But it's going to be really cool that we get to see them twice. And so I guess we're running pretty long. So I think that what we'll do is do a prediction of the finals.
T1.
And how much are T1 going to win it by and against who?
I think it's going to be incredibly hype if anyone takes a game off of T1.
Yeah. I'm not
at
actually,
all.
No.
Like, throughout the entirety of the playoffs, I think even if Gen G, like, it goes like 1-1 in the finals, best of five, I think people are going to start going, you know, rabid in the eyes. They're going to be like, oh my God, somebody can finally beat them. That's my prediction hard I think they're going to be the favorites.
I do think that them dropping a game would not be surprising to me. Of course, their mentality might change in playoffs, but they've had both some happy gaming, which I do think that's maybe a kind of a habit that's hard to really get rid of if you do find leads.
Mm-hmm.
And although recently it hasn't been a problem, they've had times where the drafts have been a little bit wonky. I think they have a really good read on the current meta, but maybe we'll see swap during playoffs. Obviously, the expected finals will just be T1 Genji. Dark horse suggestions will be DRX, although I'd still hold the dumb one. I have more faith in DRX than in DRX to make it a deep run, but I don't see dumb one or Genji really winning.
I personally think it's going to be a T1 Gen G finals, and I've been saying that for a long time, but I just think that the gap between Gen G and DRX and Damwonkey is so massive. The thing about the playoffs, there's like a world where in T1's round two match, if KT actually grow and actually pop off, like we could have a Telecom War semifinal. Like, that's technically possible.
Wait.
Wolf sees the angles.
But I don't think it's going to happen. I think we'll see like a really cool semi between one of those top four teams and T1, and then T1 will meet Gen G in the final because they'll be on the opposite side of the bracket because they're both top two. But I think T1 will drop games because the meta is still pretty volatile, and I think there are a lot of ways this goes wrong in draft for T1, or they end up being too predictable, or the teams have so much to study from them. But I think they will win the finals. Like, I think predicting against that right now is kind of a ridiculous thing to do, but I think they will drop games, and I think we will see some close series, maybe like a 3-1 Gen G final, like where they T1 T1, of course, 3-1 Gen G in the grand final. Like, it's kind of what I'm feeling at the moment. Like, Dom 1 Kia 3-1-ing T1 in the summer finals last year. Like, I feel like that's the kind of finals we're going to get.
Yeah, because that was actually great finals, even though it was a 3-1.
Yep. I think it's going to be a 3-2. Because we haven't seen T1 versus Gen G's main roster yet. I think that there will be a little bit of teething during that series. But I think T1, it's not only that they rally after losses, but they're also really good at adapting their draft. And I think that that sort of adaptation is going to lead to T1 being able to ultimately take the series. But I actually think it's going to be super hype. I think that the spring final is going to be really, really cool. Especially with now, like, we know that Gen G and T1 are going to be waiting on other sides in separate semifinals. We now get to potentially have, like, T1 versus Dom1. They get their revenge in a 3-1 against Dom1 Kia, right? And then move up, wait in the final for a matchup of, like, Gen G versus DRX, which could be a lot of fun. I don't think it's going to be close, but certainly would be a lot of fun. So like, just the whole idea of, like, our top four facing off is going to be really cool. And there'll be some other matches before that.
Shh. Don't talk about those matches. Making playoffs is an achievement in of itself.
I mean, we'll probably have, like, what, KT versus Damwon and DRX versus Kwangdong, or vice versa. Or if Fred Brion make it in, like, replace Fred Brion with KT, or KT with Fred Brion. Like, those matches will be, like, the ones where we're like, you know, like, Kwangdong is, it could have the X Factor run, I guess, like, possibly, but probably not.
I think if it's Kwangdong and KT, there are certain matchups that I get, like, nervous about personally for, like, our top four, right? For DRX and for Damwon. I think there are worlds, like,
yeah, there are ways. Always, there are ways DRX, like, loses to Kwangdong, or Damwon Kia loses to Kwangdong. Like, I could see it. I could also see DRX losing to KT. Like, it could randomly
DRX
happen.
DRX versus KT is definitely a scary situation.
and that's when you get the Telecom War semi.
It's like KT, no, the organization, getting its revenge on Deft face-checking that brush in 2018 Worlds, you know? Like, woo! We've come full circle. I think on that note, you guys have heard from us so many times on all of these predictions for the playoffs. I think that what we've come to agree on is the fact that the future for the LCK is extraordinarily bright. We're very, very proud of all of our players, whether they are here domestically or have traveled abroad. And we're looking forward so much to the final week of the LCK. Remember those hype matchups on Wednesday and Thursday, both the first ones. They are going to be so, so good. And we can't wait to be there with you while we watch them, and we'll see you next time on the next episode of the Pogstate.